What other choice did we have? You know, because the sale fell through twice, and you can't just keep sitting there and leave an empty building. You know, my parents wanted to be put in use.
Mm. So when this company approached you, obviously things were very hush-hush at that stage, not from your side necessarily, but certainly from, that's just the way the government and their agents do the business. Yeah. And then the lease was agreed. Then it became public that Friday there, about two Fridays ago now. Was it at that stage then that some people started sort of targeting your family for threats and abuse?
Well, to be honest, this all happened very quickly for us. I only found out that week, you know, that this was going ahead. So I was trying to come to terms with moving out of my home. And yeah, from that Friday, then when the news spread, that's when we started getting hate as well. And we were being harassed. Like, there was people outside taking pictures, giving interviews, but they never came in. They were looking in our windows, but they never came in to hear our side of the story or to hear why we had chosen to do this.
So you became, you felt very isolated.
Yeah, I felt like I couldn't leave my hotel. I felt like I couldn't walk up the town without being targeted or having dirty looks thrown at me or abuse. So I felt isolated, and my whole family did. And I felt like I had to stay in the hotel, because if I went out, I was facing abuse.
I presume in your conversations before agreeing this, you thought, right, it might upset people, but you didn't expect it, did you, to sort of, for this type of reaction from some?
Yeah, I never expected. We always knew there was going to be some people that, you know, wouldn't agree with it, but I never expected to be nearly burnt out of my home, you know? I never, ever expected that.
What was worrying is that, you know, in advance of this fire, there were threats put up on Facebook. You were threatened directly, but there was Facebook, even specific threats about burning down the hotel.
Yeah.
Did you feel unsafe in the hotel before this arson attack?
No, I never once felt unsafe. You know, as I said, it's been my home for 4 years. I've always felt safe. It's a great town. You know, and the people, this doesn't represent the people of Mobile. They are lovely people, and it's a lovely town. And Donegal is lovely too. And this doesn't represent them. This is just, as I've been saying, it's just one bad apple that has done this.
I mean, it is very, very possible that your father's life could have been taken, or indeed yours could have been taken, or whomever was in that hotel. Mm-hmm. This could have been a life and death situation.
Yeah, like, I might not be on this phone to you today. I might be, you know, not alive. My dad might not be alive. My family could be planning funerals. And if it happened a few weeks ago, you know, there was more people in the hotel. We had a whole load of family over, and there could be more fatalities. Mm. But I'm just, you know, thank God that there wasn't, and my dad got out, and he's safe, and we're all safe.
From what, you weren't actually in the hotel at the time. You were returning home at that stage, Aoife, were you?
Yeah, I was coming home, and I seen someone at the window, and, you know, the bedroom window upstairs. I didn't know what was going on. I started to ring my dad. I actually thought we were being robbed, to be honest. And I was running down, and I seen it was my dad climbing out the window, and I turned, and I seen just all these flames coming out the reception window, and I just broke down. Wow. And to see my dad stand on the roof, like, that's really hard. You can't help him. Like, I had no ladder to get to him, and, you know, his life was in jeopardy. And to see your home burning as well, it was horrible, to be honest.
How did he become?
The fire brigade were there in no time, and they got him down. They got it sorted.
How did he become aware that a fire had
been? Fire.
Yeah.
Well, from talking to him, he says he heard like a bang, and it kind of woke him, but he. And then the fire alarm as well started to go off, and he got up and he walked out and he tried to look down the stairs, and he couldn't see very far, and all he could see was all the smoke. So he came running into my room to try and to see if I was there, to be honest. And he seen I wasn't there, and he went to turn to get back out, but he couldn't because the smoke had gotten that bad. So he had to climb out that bedroom window then.
I mean, he was seconds away from being overcome by that smoke, because that's what does the damage. The flames don't have to reach you.
And now he does. He has you know, blackening on his lungs, but he's getting there. You know, we're just so happy to have him back and to have him alive, to be honest.
Yeah. As you say, and you were saying, and I accidentally spoke over you, Aoife, the emergency services were very quickly on the scene to contain the fire, but
they were there so quick. And, you know, I'd just like to thank them. It was the Mobile and Cairn Donegal Fire Services, the emergency services and the guards for everything that they did that night and over the past week. Or the past few days, they they have been great. And see, even the people of Mobile, like, they have been so, so supportive, and the community's really come together because of this horrific incident.
And of course, you'd join with Gardaí in appealing for anyone with any information,
yeah,
or even if the person responsible, I think Inspector Pat O'Donnell, Detective Inspector Pat O'Donnell, effectively said, look, it's possible they thought it was empty, but they need to come forward and have this conversation with Gardaí. It'd be better for them. But if anyone in the community or beyond knows also, that you would join in appealing for them to bring forward any information.
Yeah, just anyone with anything, just please come forward. You know, this could have been a worse fatality, you know. But it wasn't. But just anyone with any kind of information, just to please get in contact with the guards, because, you know, it's a horrible act that happened.
Extensive damage was how the authorities are describing it. Of course, it's your home, it's your building, your family's building, of course, I mean. Having been inside, how extensive is the damage from your perspective, Aoife?
I only got in last night, so it was quite dark. It's really, really badly damaged. Down by the reception area, it's gone. It has to be gutted. There's a lot of smoke damage in the building. There's a lot of damage done to the building, to be honest. There is.
Have you been given any indication, any assessment as to how long it will take to repair?
I have no idea on that. I'm not too sure.
Some people saying the start of next year, but that would seem ambitious from what I've seen.
That's a bit extreme.
Yeah.
The start of next year, but no, we're hoping to get it all, you know, sorted either before Christmas or just after Christmas.
Okay. Now, what does this mean for the future use of the building, Aoife? Will it still be used to house asylum seekers, as far as you're aware?
Oh, 100%. This whole, you know, the Direct Provision Centre, it's going ahead. This isn't stopping it. This is going ahead. Them people are coming from war-torn countries and they deserve a home as well. So this is 100% going ahead. This is just a setback.
And when you talk, I mean, you speak passionately about the plight of the people that will be housed there. Mm-hmm. When you were discussing this in advance, did that form part of the decision that you, as a family, thought that you were doing the right thing for these people too?
Yeah, of course. Everyone deserves a chance in life. You know, it's not these people's fault that this is what's happened in their country. Everyone deserves a chance, and to be able to help someone, that's actually quite rewarding, to help someone and to give them. I'm giving up my home. I lived there for 4 years and that's my home, and I'm giving it up to help these people. So that's actually quite rewarding.
What would you say to those who are upset about this? Now, I'm not talking about anyone that would take the horrendous act of potentially killing people by firebombing the hotel. I'm on about, you know, reasonable people, but have their concerns about, you know, the local health service, local schools, their security. What would your message be to those people, Aoife?
There's always going to be concerns. Yeah, there is. There's always going to be questions. But try and go to the right people and find the right information. Don't start making it up in your head or listen to rumours or giving us hate over it and vile comments, because it's not okay. Hatred is not okay. So just go and try to find the right information. Contact the Justice Department. Contact the RIA. And try to find out the proper information. Don't make up this stuff in your head.
Mm. Do you avoid social media or...
At the minute, I am, yeah, because...
Like, I don't want to upset you, but I mean, you know, a lot of the comments, and it's astonishing,
well, yeah.
They were from America, from all over the place, was like, well done, you've done a fantastic job in what you did, you know, resist this type of, you know, proliferation of foreigners into your country, you did the right thing, well done. How does that make you feel?
That's vile. Who in their right mind, to be honest, would want to burn someone out of their home? That is just vile. Them comments are disgusting. I don't look at them. Mm. How would anyone else like if you came home and see your dad hanging out a window and to see your home on fire, being burnt down? No one would like it. It's not okay. This is not an okay situation. Mm-hmm. This is disgusting. And them comments are also disgusting. So I've stayed away from social media. I haven't gone near it since the news broke, because it's disgusting, some comments.
Yeah, go
we're
ahead.
We're going to rise above it. Mm. We have to.
Aoife, there's, you know, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to sort of think about it or reflect on it, what's happened here, because there's two scenarios here. This could have been someone from who knows where, didn't know the situation, maybe after a night, I don't know, and took this action. But if it were someone who knows the lay of the land in Moville, they would know that you've lived there.
Yeah, it's a small, close-knit community.
So have you considered that someone may have set that fire, knowing fine well that a family live in that place? I mean, that's even more concerning.
You know what? To think that someone... It's a lovely town, and I love the town, and to think that someone from the town could do that isn't nice. So I'm not... We're not blaming anyone from the town. This town great and so supportive. But to think that someone could do that, it's horrible. It's not nice, because they wouldn't like that to happen to them, you know? But... No one likes it. The whole town's disgusted by this. They're horrified by it.
Of course they are, because, this was on the day that a meeting was to be, and it went ahead, fair play to them.
It went ahead, and it was, I heard yesterday from a friend of mine that it was so positive, and, you know, it was just, the vibes in that room were great, and it was so positive, and I'm so happy that it went ahead. I was meant to attend it myself, but I couldn't, but... because of what happened, but I heard that the meeting went great.
And your dad's okay. A bit of, I don't want to dumb it down, a bit of damage to his lungs sounds terrible, that.
You know what, he's alive, and I think that's the main thing. He's alive, we're all alive, and that's the main thing.
So just to recap, Aoife, I mean, part of this decision was that, I mean, obviously there's a commercial decision there, but you've considered the humanitarian aspect of this, that you think that you're helping these people out and offering, in making this available. It will be brought back up to a livable standard, of course, and it is going to be a direct provision centre. It's just a matter of when rather than if.
Yep, it's going ahead. It's just going to take time now to... put the hotel back right and get these people to move in now.
All right, Aoife, anything you want to add before we wrap up?
Well, just to say thank you again to everyone that's been helping over the past 2 days, our close families and friends, the fire service, emergency services, the guards, and the people of Moville. That's all I want to do, is thank them so much for all their support over the past 2 days. It's been so hard, but they've really come together. So thank you.